Okay. I thought since we have quite a few new people who are just kind of getting started here, we might start out with a question and answer session, because I've been getting quite a few questions from different people. So, is there any mysteries of the universe anybody has a question about?
I have a question.
Yeah.
It's for the recording.
We've talked a little bit on the internet about Jesus Christ and his atonement and crucifixion and why that, you know, he came to save us because of his teachings, not necessarily because he died on the cross. So I was wondering, why did he have to die on the cross? Why? What did that fulfill? And in Gethsemane, I know you've talked a little bit about the molecular structure being broken, and that's why he was in so much pain. But I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the crucifixion.
Okay, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Well, he didn't really. It was something that pretty much had to happen, though, for an avatar like Christ that came and upset the apple cart of everybody's belief system of that time. He pretty much had to be prepared to do what was necessary. But he could have fulfilled his mission without dying on the cross. He exemplified the age of Pisces. In the age of Pisces, the key word is sacrifice. So he had to show sacrifice in some way so that love could be understood. The love that is exhibited through tremendous sacrifice. So if he didn't die on the cross, he would have had to do something else to exemplify the great sacrifice. But the cross was a pretty good way to do it, because it was a pretty terrible way to go. There are some legends that he was stoned to death, you know, and somebody just made up the cross. There's legends about that. But the mission of Jesus is quite a bit, the real mission is quite a bit different than presented in the religions. For one thing, Jesus himself is not the God of the universe. He's a great being, he's our elder brother, but he's not the God of the whole universe. He's one with the God of the whole universe. And when he says, I and my Father are one, he joins a oneness with millions of other beings throughout the universe that are attempting to be one with the one God. And then he said to his disciples, I will that you be one as I and my Father are one. So that this oneness is for everybody, just not for Christ. And so the big claim that bothered the Jews, that he was like claiming to be God, he says, I and my Father are one. That really disturbed him. Yet this type of oneness, he said, is available to us all. Now, as far as the sacrifice for sin, he didn't make a sacrifice so we could just say, Jesus, accept me, I believe in Jesus, remove my sins. He did not make the sacrifice just so we could have an easy street and just proclaim Jesus and then go to heaven for eternity. That's not why he did all that. He came and sacrificed himself for our sins. Sins comes from a Greek word which means error. The ancient Greeks used the word, the Greek word for sin, to when they were shooting an arrow at a target, or they shot an arrow at a target and they missed. Well, among the Greeks, that meant they sinned. Now, when a Christian person sins, what does he do? He thinks, oh man, I'm unworthy. I got to repent and ash cloth. And he feels unworthy to do anything for maybe months. Maybe he's paralyzed for a long period of time, and then after a period of penance, he may go back and try to improve himself again. But when you shoot an arrow at a target and you sin and miss, do you think, oh, I'm unworthy to shoot again. I need to go do some penance, and I'll come back in a month and I'll shoot another arrow at a target. No, you don't. So this is the way sin was in the mind of Jesus. Sin wasn't something that just would produce tremendous guilt that made you go away in the wilderness for a month and then come back later to do penance of some kind, and then to start all over. But sin was just an error in thinking. Christ came to redeem us from our errors in thinking. Now, in redeem us, one of the greatest errors in our thinking is to think that sin has to be followed by guilt. And this is a big mistake about sin. When you shoot an arrow at a target and miss, do you feel guilty? No, there's no guilt. You just think, well, man, that was a dumb mistake. Let me correct that and I'll hit the bullseye this time, or at least try to. So there's no guilt. When there's no guilt, you can practice and practice and practice and improve and improve and improve 100 times faster than some archer that feels guilty after each shot. Take an archer who feels guilty after each shot and another archer who doesn't feel guilty, and which one's going to improve the fastest? The one that doesn't feel guilty may practice a couple hundred shots in one day. The one that feels guilty may be practice 3 shots in 2 months. He'll make a little tiny bit of progress, the guilty one. But the one without the guilt will go forward leaps and bounds. And this is what one of the things that Jesus' teachings, if they're understood correctly, will do, it will remove our guilt. Now, people think, well, guilt is really a good thing, because if we don't have guilt, that's like having our conscience seared with a hot iron. No, it's not. A conscience is a sense of right and wrong. The archer has it when he shoots at the target and misses it. He has a sense as to whether he missed the target or not. He doesn't need guilt. Guilt is different than conscience. Conscience is a sense of right and wrong. Guilt is not conscience. Guilt is produced by illusion. It is the greatest tool the Dark Brothers has to control everybody with. That's what causes everyone to worship the beast, is guilt. Without the beast, there can be no guilt. The beast is the outside authority that takes the place of God. And where is God? The 144,000 had the mark of God within. It was in their forehead. Those who had the beast had the outward mark in their forehead. Those who were redeemed from the mark of the beast had the inward mark in their forehead, and it was the name of God in their forehead. And the name of God was who? What is it? For that gal over there, it's Shannon. Okay. For this gal over here, it's Sharon. Okay, so all of us have the mark of God in our forehead. We have to look within and find that I and my Father are one. You and your Father are one. That's where God is. It's right within you. And when you realize it's within you, the outward gods have no power to produce guilt. And this is what Jesus taught. The kingdom of God is within. He says you won't find the kingdom by looking without. You have to look within to find the kingdom. And that's where the name of God is within. That's how you escape the beast, and that's how you escape guilt. But think of how guilt is produced. Guilt is produced because you allow the voice of God to be given from without as a divine authority. It may be a prophet, priest, king, doctor, lawyer, political leader. Somebody that you put all your faith in has power to take the place of the God within, of the judgment within that is within you. When you allow that person out there to take that power away from you, he then has power to produce guilt in you. He can then tell you, if you eat peas, that is wrong. God does not want you to eat peas. So if you eat peas, and then somebody says, did you eat some peas today? Yeah, man, I feel really bad. Well, that seems funny, but think like in the Mormon church. Did you drink a cup of tea today? Oh, man, I guess I did. I feel really, really bad about that. Somebody out there has power to make you feel guilty for drinking a cup of tea. Now, that's the power of the beast. We must escape that power of the outward authorities having power to make us feel guilty. If you want to drink a cup of tea, you have to go within and discard all the authorities and say, does the presence of God within me, is that all right with him if I drink a cup of tea? And check. Check with it. I check with mine all the time. And, you know, sometimes he'll say, well, hey, you're going a little bit overboard. Don't drink that extra glass of wine.
You're getting that mixed up with me.
Yeah, she's my inward and outward authority.
Maybe it's that Long Island tea.
Yeah, right.